The Reds have a special 150th birthday gift for fans, a complete renovation of the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum. The club is celebrating the 150th anniversary season of the 1869 Red Stockings all year long, and the team's lasting gift to the city is the first major remodeling of the Hall of Fame and Museum since it opened in 2004. It closed on November 1, so all 16,000 square feet can be redesigned and repurposed. What's it going to look like? To give our listeners a preview, we've asked Rick Walls, Reds Hall of Fame Executive Director, to give us the scoop tonight. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the big picture. Does anything at all stay the same, like the first floor theater or the lobby exhibition space?
That is the question I get every single time I explain this. And I love it because that means people love parts of the Hall of Fame and they don't want them to go away. So I had to tell my kids and family, yes, some of the stuff you loved is not going to be there, but you're going to love even more of the stuff we bring in. So the wall of baseballs overlooking the south side toward the river, that will remain. It's a great decorative element and represents, of course, an important part of history and the record-breaking hit total 4256 of the one and only Pete Rose. But you're going to see almost a stem to stern sort of renovation of bringing technology and artifacts in, displaying it in a different way than you've ever seen before, that I know is going to make you excited to come back often, not just one visit, not twice, but to see everything, how it evolves throughout the year.
I heard talk of video screens and interaction. So you're going to change how you display the Hall of Fame plaques and maybe be able to show fans more about what made these Hall of Famers Hall of Famers?
If you think about it, that's exactly right. I mean, that's what we're going to do. We've done a lot of research. I've been to many other Halls of Fames, and the typical way to display a Hall of Fame plaque, it's a very quiet, reverential room, which I understand that's the way it's usually done, and there's something to that. We don't want to lose the reverential part about it. We have 89 Hall of Famers who have earned this important honor and being an important part of Reds history. But what we're going to do is bring those plaques to life and those players to life in a different way. And this is going to allow the user to walk into a room, walk to a touchpad, and turn an entire room that's got a diameter of about 30 feet, if you can imagine that, which has a 4-foot video screen that wraps the entire room. So you're in a 360-degree screen theater, and you're able to choose what goes on the screens. So you hit Barry Larkin, Frank Robinson, George and Harry Wright, Bid McPhee, whoever you want, whoever your hero is, you can bring that theater to life with about a minute and a half audio-visual presentation about that Hall of Famer.
And I hear thousands of baseball cards.
Yeah, and we're in the middle of scanning all these cards in. So technology is a big part of the museum, as you heard with the plaque room. We think that's the wow thing. Baseball cards are part of the fabric of this game and the way the fans have connected to it. And what we want to do is bring that back to life. So when we develop an exhibit like the Baseball Card Archive and digitize every card that we have so a fan can come in and look through over 7,000 baseball cards potentially that we will have scanned in, look at the front and the back, sort them by all different ways, you know, player, year, position, or maybe the maker of the card, and see how they've changed throughout the years, and then step over and make your own baseball card, and then have that emailed to you. So those little things will be added to, these little touches that put you right in the middle of the game.
So you could type in Joe Nuxall or Johnny Temple or Johnny Edwards and then get a screen that would be all the baseball cards, thumb mm-hmm. through all the cards.
Yeah, just a touch screen. You'll be able to flip through them as they were doing it on a mobile device and view them and enlarge them and kind of do research on them if you want. At the same time, we have the originals on display as well. The reason we're digitizing them is how do you put 2,000, 3,000 cards on display?
Big file cabinets.
Big file cabinets. So we do have these pull-out racks that are going to be a lot of fun for visitors. So a lot of touchy-feely things, you know, not just technology. The artifacts will be there throughout the museum. I mean, that's really what it's about. You know, the pieces that the players utilize, the tools of the game, that's an important part of everything we do down there, displaying those.
One of the things I liked was at the elevator on the first floor, the leaderboard. Is that element going to be incorporated some way, somehow, or maybe electronically, because as Votto moves up or other players move up on the list, you can change it a little bit easier than what you had it there?
It's a fan favorite element because it's real time almost. You know, what he's referring to is a leaderboard for all the major statistical categories. We would list the top 8 or 9 Reds players and then the current Reds players. So you could watch these guys move up and down. Oh my gosh, how many home runs short of Klusewski is he? And, you know, Votto's moving up the chart in those things. Is he ever going to catch Johnny Bench's 389 home runs? I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. That exhibit will be moved to a different part of the museum, still be manual, not going to be electronic, though, because it kind of evokes the Crosley Field scoreboard, Fenway Park scoreboard era. So, yes, we're going to have a lot of new, but we want to keep some of the old.
In the opening room on the first floor was kind of your rotating exhibit space. Is that still this philosophy, or will that be something permanent there in a rotating space elsewhere in the building?
We think a major rotating exhibit is extremely important. So that will remain the same. We've reconfigured the lobby, improved all of the restrooms and just our entrance experience. You know, the things you have to do. I mean, if you want to have that reputation as the greatest team Hall of Fame in all of baseball, which we've had for so many years, and one of the reasons we know we've got to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, because museums are changing. You still walk in that wonderful Palace of the Fans facade that overhangs the theater. That main gallery will still be changing. This year, it's an exhibit called Homes of the Reds, and it's an exhibit about the homes, the ballparks, the places that the fans have called their home and the Reds have called homes, Crosley, Palace of the Fans, League Park, Riverfront, and of course, Great American, and large-scale items like lockers, banks, and seats from those stadiums, and images, and turnstiles, and lights from Crosley Field. Those are the types of things that fans are going to see there.
The Great Eight statues, they're still there, but maybe in a different place or a different way?
Yeah, the Great Eight statues, I think anyone that's been to the hall probably remembers those, probably had their photo taken with them too. Those are going to be moved to a different location. In fact, they'll be in the area next to the Wall of Baseball. Is the big glass wall that faces to the south. So you'll be able to still get your picture taken with them and their group scene celebrating one of those many, many victories they had as a team.
Sparky's not in the dugout anymore, I bet, right?
Sparky's got a new place. He's still leaning on a railing. He'll be looking at the big red machine, his team, the team that he developed and took to the two World Series championships.
One of my favorite rooms was the den. The Reds cave, the man cave, because I just liked all the little merchandising, you know, the Tressler Comet cups and the baseball card sets and all that. Is that element still around in a different way?
I would say no, not in that way. Those types of items have now been incorporated into more of the timeline history. Before, we had these little pods of kind of smaller subject items. You're right, the ultimate Reds room, man cave, whatever we called it, had the bar and the seats and the chairs and the TV, and you felt like you were at home in the basement, and you were surrounded by kind of the smalls, the giveaways, the things that people connect to baseball with, the stuff you might have on your shelf at home. And that was the beauty of it. You'd walk in and say, I have that. I had that. I remember that. Those items will be brought back to life in the timeline. And this is a casework of about 32 cases that will take you on a different type of journey, actually one that we can change often. We've designed this so that we can update, change. So most of the time, if you come back in a month or two later, it won't look the same as it did when you came through the first time.
You've kind of reimagined this whole thing. How long ago did this process start, and what was your goal?
For me, renovating the museum has always been important. I've always thought about it, and I've been there 12 years now, and it's a beautiful place. However, I've been to a lot of the new museums, and we knew we'd have to make a change. And working with the Reds closely and thinking about the 150th anniversary and all the things that would come along with that and what the Reds could do, that's probably when it really came to life. And talking with Phil Castellini, and Phil and I had talked about this a lot. And he said, Rick, if you're going to do it, you got to do it big, and you got to do it in the 150th anniversary year. Because we wouldn't have done maybe the whole museum. But Phil is creative, and he said, Rick, let's go for it. If you want to go for it, we'll do it. We'll go after it. We'll try to raise the money, and we'll do it right. And I think that's the beauty of what the Reds do, is they do it right, and they do it thoroughly, and they do it fast. And we're doing it fast, and we're going to be open by opening day. And even as this segment airs, we'll be working hard.
So how long a process? A year? Two years?
About a year and a half of design work. Design, and it's hard to believe we're really, really close now and still have a lot of work to do, even in the last couple of weeks. A year and a half, it's a lot of research. It's working with a local company, work with FRCH, who has a great relationship with the Reds, using their expert designers and those within the Reds organization. Jan Sindel is one of their lead designers, and he's helped with many of our exhibits. You know, we put the right people together, and, you know, our curator, Chris Eckes, who's put together all the wonderful exhibits in the museum, you put that group in a room, and that creativity spawns a wonderful experience. And we're not going to hit it all perfectly, but we think we've got some new things that are just going to make people excited about it. And hopefully, you know, it helps part of the stars aligning for this important season. We've got the team back on track. We got the Hall of Fame reopening and 150 years of celebration, all kinds of activities at the ballpark. I think fans are in for a real special time. I think you can just kind of thank yourself for living in Cincinnati and being able to be part of this.
Are there some things that you did specifically to be kid-friendly?
Yeah, we lost a couple things that we intended to be specific for kids. For instance, if you remember, and all everyone listening will remember Strike Zone, which is the pitching area.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to add more outside. The idea, it was taking up a lot of space inside that we thought we needed for some of the new exhibits. So the Strike Zone pitching area will be moved. I wouldn't say that's a kid's space, though, because if anything,
I saw plenty of adults there.
Many rotator cuff, probably injuries occurring in there, but I was in there a lot. Everybody loved that thing. So we're going to move that outside and still give people the opportunity to participate in that. But the interactive elements, such as the broadcast booth, where anyone can step up to the microphone and pretend like they're Marty or Joe or Wade Hoyt and call a famous Reds play. And now the technology allows us to let you record that, get a clip of the play that you just called, and we can email that to you so you'll have a record of that. The same thing with a television desk, where you can sit down at a desk, be in the booth, and pretend like you're talking with one of the Fox Sports broadcasters, and then you're calling a play in a highlight film. So you'll have that emailed to you as well.
And to Jim Day's Day.
That's right. That's right. And Jim Day's been involved in it, and we've been able to use a lot of the talent within the Reds to help with this. So when you come in, you're going to feel right at home. I know you'll leave the museum knowing a lot more about Reds baseball. I know that the way we've configured it, it's going to take you on a path from the beginning of baseball in 1869. This will really help us with our tours, take you through that long, emotional, in some ways romantic journey of baseball in Cincinnati. It's changed a lot, but in many ways it hasn't. And then in the end, you're going to walk out of there and go, wow, how do I do that again? And I got to come back.
So in the journey specifically, where you end at the elevator, which is kind of over the entrance to the gift shop, the way you traverse through the exhibit will be the same way.
It is. I mean, you'll start down in the lower part where we have the changing exhibit gallery. And, you know, the museum's on two floors. You have the changing exhibit gallery in the theater that will show six different films rotating. And then you'll walk into an exhibit that's really about Negro Leagues baseball in Cincinnati and diversity and inclusion and Chuck Harmon and Jackie Robinson, Frank Robinson.
Wow.
And that will take you up the stairs. And I like to talk about the Big Red Machine as one of the most diverse but most successful teams. So diverse backgrounds, diverse talents, but unparalleled success. I mean, look at that team. Think about the starting lineup of that team. And when I say diverse, you've got Hispanic players, Latin players, you know, white players, black players. It really was a team. And what brought them together was Sparky and the chemistry that they all developed. So there's something there, something magical about that. But we got an exhibit mentioned upstairs on the 1869 Red Stockings, the timeline. There's an exhibit about the players. There's a ballparks exhibit upstairs. There is the baseball card archive. Then the Hall of Fame plaque room that's after the broadcaster's room. And then to end it, we take you to the champions room. This is where the World Series trophies are. So we will highlight the five world championships the Reds have had. There's a video screen that's about 20 feet wide that shows highlights of all the World Series. Yes, we even have some footage from 1919, our first world championship. But this is where the three trophies that we've had. There have been five championships, but they only started making World Series trophies in the late 60s. So we've got 75, 76, and 90. And then we've got awards that we've made for 1919 and 1940. But this will be a real special room. It's the culmination of what every player wants to achieve as a team to win a World Series. And as you've traversed through the museum, you'll learn about the history, and now you can celebrate with the champions.
Rick, I can't wait to see it.
John, think about what it was like. And I wasn't here when this Hall of Fame opened in 2004 and how special that must have been at that time. I feel like we're doing that again. But then again, we're keeping a lot of what Greg Rhodes and the original director of the museum and the leaders at the time who felt that having a Hall of Fame was important. Now, that's the first and most important step in this, that understanding your history, celebrating the past, that greatness, preserving it, recording and preserving it, and showcasing it for the fans was important. That doesn't happen everywhere, but it happens here in Cincinnati. And I think that is the most important thing that we can think about. And We deserve a museum. The fans deserve a museum like this. This is a tribute to them and what they've meant and all the players that have come and played in front of them.
Well, it's a wonderful asset in the community, and I can't wait to see the redesign and all.
Well, thank you. I hope to see you down there really soon.
You'll see me, believe me. Anyway, I've been speaking with Reds Hall of Fame Executive Director Rick Walls here tonight. You'll find a link to the Reds Hall of Fame on our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm John Kieswetter.
Do you want to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. I will root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. It's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.